Our scripture reading is taken from Romans 8, verse 18 till 25. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You wake up in the morning and dress up enthusiastically to face your new day. After you were locked in for several weeks due to coronavirus, and your plans were interrupted, you collect yourself and want to start a new day. Despite the fact that you cannot withdraw money from your bank account and the currency with which you earn your salary is devalued and can hardly buy you your basic needs, still you decide to remain positive and continue your life. You do not want to be discouraged. You reach your office and have a day of work, and just as you are about to leave your office, a big explosion rocks the city. Your office collapses, glass falls on you, and people around you are bleeding, and some of them are dead. You collect yourself, you stand up, and you walk, and you thank God that you are still alive. This is not a scary movie or a Hollywood new production. This is life in Beirut on August 4. The intensity of suffering that the Lebanese faced on that day and are still facing today presents a great challenge on how do we perceive the relation between suffering and hope, suffering and glory. The text in Romans 8, 18 till 25 is seen as a difficult text to the people who suffer. It raises questions on how do we deal with daily pain? Does the text speak about accepting our suffering and waiting for tomorrow, where later we will be glorified? Is it a call for waiting for the future, for the unseen, the unknown? There is a tendency in some preaching around this text to invite people to accept their pain and wait to receive hope in the future, in the life after, which brings glory to their lives. It is a postponed hope that we are asked to wait in patience. Fred Craddock, in one of his sermons, says that hope is many times presented as a cushion word, a term of postponing things. An important approach to tackling this text in Romans is to stress that the glory in verse 18 does not envisage a future immortality for individual Christians, believers, but it refers to both the restoration of God's presence with the people now, the already and not yet hope, the already and not yet glory. A pastor shared with me lately how difficult it is to preach hope when all around us looks hopeless and we feel helpless, starting from the coronavirus to the economic situation to the war in Lebanon and in the Middle East to the refugee issue. All around us looks in pain and groans. Creation groans and we groan with creation. The text says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly. Today, the world groans with so many kinds of suffering, whether it is brokenness, health issues, hunger, physical and psychological challenges, insecurity about the future. We share the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Paul, as a man of suffering, understands well what it means to be facing pain. He himself was imprisoned and faced different kinds of suffering. Even Paul's audience in Rome were suffering under Caesar. Still, Paul speaks about eager anticipation, even in the middle of suffering. He presents two images. The first image, he says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. It is the image of somebody who's standing on his or her tiptoes, stretching the neck, craning forward, trying to see what's coming. The second image that he uses is the image of the woman in labor. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains. In both images, the image of the person who's leaning forward, stretching himself, and the image of the woman in labor, in both images, there is a mixed feeling of suffering and waiting, expecting that something will happen in the now. It might not be instant, but something will happen and will bring hope. In Arabic, there are two words for hope. One is amal, which is hope that's related to our situation, and raja, which is hope beyond our present situation. The first word, amal, is to be locked in the now, while the other, raja, is to know that the present suffering does not have the last word, that we stay on our tiptoes, waiting that God will change the present suffering, trusting that in the midst of the pain, we will hear the voice of the child born. We wait in eager expectations that God will interfere through the present. Our struggle remains in how to live between the already and not yet, and trust that we live in hope for a better tomorrow. We do not allow suffering to close our eyes on the hope to come. Hope is in the now. It's never a comfort cushion to postpone things. In one of the damaged hospitals in Beirut, a nurse shared her story about how she rescued three babies who were triplets in the intensive nursery room in the hospital. When the wall fell, she had the three babies close to her chest and made sure that they are looking at her face. I did not want them to see the damage, she said. I did not want the scene of the damage to stay in their memory. I wanted them to see hope in my eyes. She was not merely living in the now, in the suffering, but was seeing beyond, looking for the future, thinking about how the three children will survive and have life with no scenes of damage. The nurse was not merely thinking of survival, but even a better tomorrow. To live in hope is to think of a better tomorrow, to move from survival to dignity for all and abundant life for all, to think of raja, hope that transcends our present suffering. Today, the world is overwhelmed with suffering, and creation is subject to futility, To be subject to futility is to struggle with the frustration that we are not yet what we should be. It is living in emptiness, purposelessness, with frustration. The groaning that we share with creation is due to the feeling that we live the emptiness where we do not live up to the call that Christ called us to. This is the journey where we feel that we are not satisfied with the way we live our faith. One day I contacted a youth from our church who had to escape to Germany. He ended up to be a refugee in an area in Germany. I checked on him, asking him how he's doing. And he said, I have all basic needs. I'm treated well. I have a good house. I have food. But I want to tell you, I feel my life is empty. There is no meaning, no purposeful life. This young man, his life was on the receiving end instead of the giving end. Today, the world groans due to the coronavirus. Many feel that they are losing meaning. I remember that I lived in Lebanon in several wars, but never felt the pain that we are feeling today, where we are forced to be distant from our brothers and sisters, sharing our life with them, visiting them, worshiping together. We are pushed into a life where we lost that satisfaction in sharing life with the needy. This human encounter that gives us meaning. Even we cannot be in the funerals of the people we love, or even in weddings. We were asked to fix our attention on our fears, our health, our safety, and this distancing pushed us to have a lonely life, a lonely ministry, lonely churches, and yes, many times emptiness. The Lutheran Bishop Hendrik Bedformstrom, president of the Council of Evangelical Church of Germany, expresses our situation in the words saying, our souls are confused. All the physical signs of connectedness, hands reaching out to each other, speaking closely face to face unmasked, embracing each other, giving each other hugs, all these physical signs, which so far have been expressions of love, have now become the enemy of love, have become a danger to the other, have become a potential source of suffering. We do not live the way we are called for. The virtual encounters help, but does not bring meaning. We do not live our days the way it's meant to be. Futility, hopelessness, emptiness, even creation is less than it was created to be. It is not declared to be very good. And we feel we are not very good. When we discover meaning in the way we live, then we see hope in the middle of our struggle. In living Jesus' stories, values, love, we start to see glory that Jesus promised. We are not locked in the tomb of our suffering, and believe that there will be a better tomorrow. During the last years, while Lebanon was receiving big number of Syrian refugees, our church discovered that many of these children have no schooling and they are left on the streets. The church started a ministry of opening schools for Syrian refugees, where children had the opportunity to read and write and be taken care of, and have a foretaste of the love of Christ. It is a ministry that gave our church meaning and hope. We discovered meaning in sharing the love of Christ with others unconditionally. It is when we discover meaning, we start to see hope. In the explosion in Beirut, the youth became on the streets, helping the people to collect glass, share food, take care of the homeless, clean the streets, and dedicate their time to lessen the pain. They experienced meaning in reflecting the love of Christ. To have hope is to discover that meaning in emptying oneself, to share the love of Christ, to be able to share your food with the hungry, to welcome a family to your house, to open your piggy bank and give it to those who lost their homes, to visit the injured in the hospitals, to help those who feel they cannot breathe, and stand on the side of all those who feel that their life matters. These are moments that might not change the reality of suffering, but it changes us as we regain meaning in living the gospel and walking the steps of Christ who cares. Then we feel the strength from above, the courage to continue despite all. The glory of our Lord Emmanuel is with us. This persistence might lead to change and might lead to justice. It's easy at this time of suffering, where the world is shaken by a new reality, that people are tempted to think only of themselves and their loved ones. But that is not a Christian response. As Pope Francis put it, he said, the true gospel bids us to take up the cross of others. In a recent international meeting of prayer for peace that happened in Rome, the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew, said, we live in a common home. It is like the house of mirrors, where whenever we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see the image of the brother and sister, and we see the work of the divine presence in every human. As we see the image of the suffering reflected in our image, we discover hope in living together and reflecting each other's image. Hope in Christ invites us to this room of mirrors, where we see ourselves and see with our image the pain of others. Today, the biggest sin that the world could face is the sin of indifference. In this room of mirror, the revelation of the children of God, the restoration of humankind to its true calling, caring, and preserving happens. To be in this room of mirror is to live in continuous reflection of the pain of others on our image, on our reality. Then we can never look at ourselves without the image of others. Our image coincides with the image of my brother and sister who is suffering. George Watts, in a painting that is well known and titled Hope, portrays the image of a woman sitting upon a globe, blindfolded with an instrument in her arm that appeared to have lost all its strings, but one. The picture shows pain, fear, discouragement. The strings are not in place and broken, and only one string is left. Still, the woman insists to continue playing on the string that is left. One string could give the instrument its integrity and give the woman the ability to make beautiful music. That one string provided hope that there was still promise of a different future for her and for her instrument. One string could make a tune, probably not the perfect tune, but it's a tune that gives hope. No matter whether we are a majority or a minority, we can produce a tune. It's a different tune that the world may not give, but it does make a difference. Friends, are we looking for hope today? It might not be seen, but it is among us as we stand on our tiptoes, eager to see. It's among us as we wait to hear the sound of the child. It's among us as we find meaning in helping one another. It's among us as we are in the house of mirrors and we see our faces with the faces of the suffering around us. It's among us as we hold the last string to play a tune, to live in eager expectation. Hope is never a comfort cushion to postpone things for tomorrow. It is now. It's you and I worshiping together. It's the glory revealed to us every day. To God be all glory, who sends us out today. Let us pray. God of life, we thank you because with your love and care, your hope is renewed every day. We thank you for in the middle of our suffering, you help us discern your voice and see your kind hand. We pray for the struggling around the world, for the people who lost dignity and feel discouraged, for the people who thirst for a better tomorrow. Use us, Lord, so we can embody hope in the way we minister to others, to use our words and deeds for healing. We wait in eager expectation for hope that our minds cannot perceive, but trust that you continue to journey with us on our road towards justice, that the world will be healed and our souls will be revived, for Christ is with us. Encourage us, Lord, and give us your strength, a strength that overcame the tomb and gave abundant life for all. Guide us, renew us, fill us with your Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.